As we come to the Word this morning, I want to go to some words that we find in Paul's letters to Timothy and to Titus. And then it is found again two times, but once in particular in the book of Revelation. And from the NIV, it is this phrase which says, the saying, from the English Standard Version, it is the saying that says, the saying is trustworthy. In the King James Version, those of us that were brought up on that would remember it as saying, this is a faithful saying. So that's what I want us to look at this morning. The saying is trustworthy, or this is a faithful saying. It appears four times in Timothy. It appears again in Titus. And then it is used twice, but there's only one occasion which I want to look at where it refers to in the book of Revelation, where it fits in with the same connotation. And so we're going to read the various scriptures, and I've got one word beginning with G that fits in with each of them, but I'm not going to enlarge on those words this morning because I want it to lead onto something else. So the first one is in 1 Timothy 1, and it's verse 15, where it says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. And what is the saying that's trustworthy? Paul goes on to say, this is it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So that's a trustworthy statement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So the word for G that is linked to there, which I will turn to these thoughts again sometime, is the word gospel. The gospel is trustworthy. It's faithful because it's the way that God has chosen to reach down to fallen humanity. The second one is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And so then Paul then begins to go into a dialogue to explain the important qualifications of an individual who is going to be called into the office of overseer, bishop, pastor, elder, shepherd, deacon, whatever title we want to use. And so the G word there, the two words together, is gifted calling. Gifted calling. And if it's of God, it's trustworthy. If the man is appointed by God, he must be trustworthy. It's a trustworthy saying. The next one is in chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, verse 9. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. And you've got to fit that in with the context of what Paul is writing about in the preceding verses and the verses that follow. And you find the G word that comes up there is found within the context of the scripture. It's the importance of godliness. Godliness. And then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and there we come to verse 11, and it says that the saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. And so when it came to finding a word beginning to G to fit in with these verses, I'm using a word which I actually don't like using. It's the way that I was brought up. But it's a phrase you'll often hear persons say, if you want to do something, you've got to have the guts to do it. Now I've never liked that phrase. But the word fits in here in the sense that Timothy is being called here by Paul, and it applies to you and I as well, especially in the day and age in which we're living in, that we've got to stand up, we've got to have guts. And another word I've used alongside that is we've got to be gallant, bold, in the day in which we're living in, for the sake of the gospel. Because if we have died with him, we will live with him. It's going to take guts. We've got to be gallant. We've got to be bold for the cause of the gospel and of our faith. And we're going to come to that again in a moment. And then we go to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 verse 8 says, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works." So it's there itself, good works. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that we need to show by who we are, by what we do, by our good works, the way we love one another, the way we care for one another, the way we do things for others, is evidence of the fact that the gospel has changed us and made us into people that are not selfish, thinking only of ourselves, but we think for the greater good of others as well. And good works will never, ever bring us to faith. Good works will never, ever save us. That's by faith and by grace. But once we're saved, good works must be in evidence that grace has saved us and is doing something in our hearts and our lives. And then the final one, which we'll go to, is in Revelation. This time it's not Timothy that's writing, but it's the revelation that John had on the Isle of Patmos. And there in verse 6 of Revelation 22 it says, "And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place." And what we know is here that as he's saying these words are trustworthy and true, it is all about the gospel, the book of Revelation. The vision that John has received about the glorified Christ, the ascended, the risen Christ. He's received this amazing revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's penned it and recorded it, he says, "What I have written, these sayings, these words, are trustworthy and true." And so what is the G word for here? Well, I want to put it this way. As we read through the book of Revelation, it is a book that tells us all about the glory of Jesus and the glory of God. It's all about glory. And we sing that song so often. And I was told this morning that Marco wanted us to sing it. So I've told him he's got to ask his dad if we can sing it tonight, because it's his, now his favourite song, "All the Praise Goes to Jesus." It's all about his glory. His glory. And so these words are trustworthy and true. And so, although the phrase only appears these 5 times in the context of which I want to talk about it, what I want to say this morning is this, that when we take hold of the Word of God, I've already used it from Revelation to say about the book of Revelation, but I want to remind us this morning that when we take hold of the Word of God, when we read it, meditate upon it, when we preach from it, whatever it is that we do with God's Word that is edifying and beneficial to us, I want to say to us this morning that when we hold up the Word of God in our hand, we can make the same statement about it. The saying, "This book, this Bible that I hold in my hand is trustworthy." It's trustworthy. You and I this morning, we can depend for our lives upon what is found in the Word of God. It must govern our lives. It must be the guide for our lives. It must be the book that determines the kind of people we are, the kind of lives that we live. It must be the book that determines the way that we are as we walk this world as pilgrims who are heading to our heavenly home, which Jesus is preparing for us. So all the sayings, All the words from the first word in Genesis 1:1 to the last word in Revelation 22. Every single word, even if we don't fully understand it, and can't quite understand what the context or meaning might be, I want to tell us this morning, every word in this book is trustworthy. It is faithful. And it is true. And the reason why we can say that this morning is this. They cannot be anything else but trustworthy. They cannot be anything else but faithful. Because this book contains the very words of the one himself who is trustworthy and faithful. The Lord our God, the Creator. And he is truth. God is truth. He is truth. Therefore, he could speak nothing but the truth. And thank God that he's given to us the book of truth, which will be our guide in this life. That's just a couple of verses. God is trustworthy. God's word is trustworthy. Psalm 145 verse 13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And then it says in the English Standard Version, the Lord is faithful. The NIV says the Lord is trustworthy in all his words and in all his works. And then Psalm 117 verse 7, the works of his hand are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. Psalm 19 verse 7 from the NIV says this, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. So he's trustworthy. His words are trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. The living word. But we thank God that the word Logos, the Lord Jesus Christ, is truth and trustworthy as well. Can I add this morning? Because we've trusted in a trustworthy God, and because we live according to his trustworthy word, then you and I as the people of God must also be trustworthy people. It demands it. We must be trustworthy people. We must be faithful people. Proverbs 11 verse 13 says this. I've been looking at the book of Proverbs a bit this week, and I may eventually come to it in the devotions, but I don't know yet how to get around doing it, because it's fascinating as we see all these little nuggets of truth, proverbs, that should challenge us. But this one says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secret. Now we would say, excuse me for putting it this way, that's somebody who's got a big mouth. Huh? Whatever goes in there comes back out. You can't trust them. They're gossips. And gossipers can turn into slanderers. NIV says a gossip betrays a confidence. But the same verse goes on to say, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. I love that. He who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. The NIV puts it this way, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. I want to tell us this morning, say to us this morning, to each and every one of us, that we all need to understand the importance of learning what it is to keep a confidence. To keep a confidence. There's nothing I hate worse than finding somebody who will come to me and tell me something, and then they say, I'm not supposed to be telling you this, but so-and-so said this to me, and then they begin to tell you what they've said, and you think, well, you've broken the confidence. So that person is no longer trustworthy. No longer reliable. And God wants us to be trustworthy people. He wants us to be men and women, people that are children that are a part of his family, who will be men and women who will know the importance of confidence. Again from the NIV, I do use the NIV, along with the King James Version and a number of other versions as well. But Proverbs 12:22 says this in the NIV, the Lord detests lying lips. But he delights in people who are trustworthy. If you want the Lord to delight in you this morning, then you've got to prove yourself to be trustworthy. A person that can keep a confidence. A person that other people know they can go to and they can open their heart up to. They can share with, knowing that what you're sharing them is going to go no further. Because you can trust them. And you would trust them with your life. And I have to ask the question this morning, can I say that I'm trustworthy? I have to challenge myself with the word of God as well, because it's for us all this morning. It's for me as I share it. It's for you as you hear. Can I say that I'm trustworthy? Can you say that you are trustworthy? But more importantly, what did the Lord have to say about it? Because He knows. He knows if with those that hear something and assume, I'll pick up the phone, this is what I've heard today. This is what I found out about so and so. He knows. And we shouldn't be that kind of people. We should be trustworthy, reliable, and men and women who can be trusted with a confidence. Now, as I said, I could go through each of these five verses that call our attention to that which is trustworthy. For example, to me, I love that first one, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Listen, when we're hearing so many making claims concerning their way to get to heaven, there's only one way. Only one way. And it's through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So their ways are not trustworthy. Their ways are not reliable. In fact, their ways are pointless and hopeless, because they will never get you into the presence of God. There's only one way, and it's a trustworthy way. And so the trustworthy saying is that Christ Jesus, nobody else, nothing else, came into the world to save sinners. But I want to take our attention to some verses in Timothy again, which doesn't actually have the trustworthy saying ahead of it, but it's part of the context of what Paul is writing about to Timothy. And it's going back to chapter 3. And it's coming to verses 14 to 16, which says this. I hope to come to see you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. And it's the phrase that's found in those verses that I want to fit into what I'm sharing from that phrase this morning. It's the phrase that says, a pillar and buttress of the truth. A pillar and buttress of the truth. See, the church, that's you and me, above any other body of people, above any other group of people, above any organization, including governments, has the responsibility of being a pillar and buttress of the truth. It's our responsibility, the church's responsibility, because we are the household of God. We are the church of the living God, and as such, we are a pillar and buttress of the truth. Now, we're in the run-up at this moment to a general election. And I don't care this morning which party any single one of us lean towards, because I guarantee there'll be a difference amongst us. Okay? But there is absolutely one thing is sure that I can say here this morning. That as they make their statements, every one of the parties, as they make their declarations, as they make the promises that they say that they're going to do if we're willing to give them our vote, There's one thing that's sure. There will be very little, if any at all, reference towards upholding the truth and to godly moral standards which are found in the Word of God. I guarantee it. In fact, you'll notice, if you haven't noticed, you're not watching the news or reading what's going on. We should, as Christians, know what's going on in this world. What we are increasingly seeing, that any politician that shows an inkling, it's only going to be an inkling of evidence of their Christian faith, they are immediately shunned. They are immediately blanked. They're discarded. And we're finding more than ever today, if a Christian politician is willing to speak up for the truth of God's word, then there's a word that is branded, which will be branded toward you and me as well, and it's the word, you are a bigot. A bigot. See, the reason being, the truth, when it comes to the word of God, counts for very little today. Because although they're not willing to accept it, when we reveal the truth of God's word, it hurts. Truth goes against the grain. Truth goes against the ideology of this sinful world today. And so they don't want us. They don't want politicians who will stand firmly upon the truth that is found in the word of God. So if we don't see it all around us, therefore we, the church, the people of God, we need more than ever to ensure that we, you, me, are a pillar or a buttress of the truth. We must hold on to it. We must stand upon it. We must live by it. We must defend it. And we must ensure that our lives do not betray the things we say we believe. That's so important today. We must not compromise. We must not. And I'm going to close with one of the trustworthy sayings. I've read it already. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Wow. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we deny the truth. Wow. Consequences. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. And it is out of his faithfulness and out of his trustworthiness that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 that he, that is God, has called us. This is such a lovely verse. He has called us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in that place, in that position of fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who gave his life as a ransom for our sin, the one who was willing to surrender his life to give you and I eternal life. As we contemplate what the cost was for him, it demands that we remain faithful. It demands that we remain trustworthy in this faithless and untrusty world in which we're living in. So may God help us, each one of us, to ensure that we stand up tall, we stand up strong, we stand up trustworthy, we stand up faithful, or faithfully, as the pillar and buttress of truth. We are the ones but that they'll remain steadfast and firm and speak out the trustworthy sayings. The world needs to hear it. Let's not shy away from sharing the word of God. Let's not be afraid to stand upon it and be firm. Because within this book, we find the words for eternal life. So may God help us. In Jesus' name.